Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here. Thank you for listening to AFR. In studio with me is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. How you doing, Brother Walker?
Doing well. Good to be on.
My brother in Christ. And
your son.
My son by blood. Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Fred?
Ready to go.
We've got a lot to talk about today. We thank you for joining us. Walker, if folks want to join us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Yes, you can first go to our website, afr.net. On our website, you can not only listen live, but you can catch the podcast there at afr.net, the Today's Issues podcast. But lastly, you can download the app on your smartphone or tablet device. Just type in AFR in the App Store and download the American Family Radio app. It's free.
How many people listen on the app?
Several thousand. Depends on what day of the week it is, but during Today's Issues, it's got to be record numbers.
Mike, could
it's huge.
Be.
It's huge.
Technically, it could be in the millions, right?
We don't know. We don't know, so it could be.
It could be.
We don't have the numbers before us, so we don't know. So just to speculate.
And we really don't need to even look up the numbers because if it's not in the millions,
it could be under a million.
Could be dozens.
I wanted to revisit a topic just for a moment before we get into. Okay, something was handed to me as I was talking here, and I have a difficult time
doing two things at
processing
once.
Two thoughts at one time and then talking on the radio, lest I say something I regret or sound like a buffoon, which I've done before. And I don't need any comments on Facebook about that, affirming the buffoonery of Tim. Okay, I don't need that. Okay, and I don't deserve it. What was I talking about?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
It was something I wanted to talk about from yesterday.
The ultimate insult.
Good.
Well, we were talking about the app.
That's what I was thinking of, numbers of the app. Well, let's just, can we just start the show over?
Well, thank you, Steve.
Steve Jordahl came
Steve Jordahl came in handing candy out and news reports to everybody, and now I can't even remember what I was going to say. I know what I was going to say. The rally that the president had in Tulsa on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it was much reported in the news media that the arena seated 19,000 and he had 6,200 in attendance. Now, there's some disagreement about that, but it was maybe halfway full. And we speculated why that was yesterday. And the left-wing news media wants to say, well, that's because the support for the president is down, and he doesn't have his troops anymore, so to speak. Well, I don't believe that now that the numbers have come out for the television ratings.
Yes.
I wondered that myself on Saturday night. I was going, what's the deal with that? And I know the president was probably wondering the same thing. Now, they were punked by AOC and some teenagers, I guess, or young people who bought up tickets on TikTok or something.
They registered for the
rally in Tulsa and never intending to go, just so they could laugh and say, hey, somebody didn't get tickets that wanted to go. Ha ha ha. Aren't we mature?
Right.
You know, huh?
Yeah.
That's what they did. So, but then this morning or late yesterday, I saw the television ratings for just Fox News. It was a record-breaking night for Fox News, Saturday night for Fox News. What, 7 to 8 million people?
7.7 million people watched the rally, watched the Trump speech.
On Fox.
On Fox alone.
Just Fox.
And that's Fox television. That doesn't include the streaming service and other places where you could watch the rally. And so that tells me that the enthusiasm for the president is not down.
No.
And it's not diminished. Mm-mm. And because people didn't go fill the arena for various reasons. By the way, other reasons would have been, I don't want to take my family down there and have Antifa shouting right in my face
while I'm waiting for 4 or 5 hours in the line.
Which was a warning 2 days before the rally.
Right. So that's that, you know.
The mayor had instituted a curfew.
Yes.
There might have been some COVID-19 fears.
Yeah. So yeah. I have no doubt, had under normal conditions, Walker, that arena would have been full.
Sure. Yeah, I think it would have. And honestly, it was, you know, could they have chosen a smaller venue to where it appears that it's packed, maybe like a 10,000-seat arena? Who knows? But, I mean, to really get 6,000 people out, With the media fear-mongering like they are for the past 4 months that the world's going to burn because of COVID-19, and you got these anarchists burning down our streets and beating up people, you know, getting 6,000 people out in downtown Tulsa, to me, was a fine showing.
Yeah.
And actually, was it his biggest rally? No, but considering the circumstances.
Yeah, the 6,000 figure comes from the fire chief. The Republicans are saying no. They were clicking on people coming in, and they say it was closer to between 12,000 and 13,000 in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let me just give a special shout-out to the president. I know he listens to our show every day. Mm-hmm. But during the speech, the president gave a shout-out to Italians. Did you guys hear that? I should have had the clip. So folks can.
I did.
I sent it around here. I posted it on Facebook. Yeah. I sent it to everyone I know, because he was saying, you know, that these protesters are tearing down statues. They, you know, they cut off the head of a statue of Christopher Columbus. He said, but not in New York. He said, where Italians surrounded the statue of Christopher Columbus and protected it, and then he said, I love the Italians.
I heard that. Yes. We need to get that
Italians.
Clip. He said, I love the Italians.
Yeah.
All right. We thank you for joining us here on American Family Radio. What do you got, Fred?
Mayor Jenny Durkin of Seattle. Remember what she was talking about, all these young people who came.
I call her Iron Fist.
To visit her city there a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the festive zone.
Summer of Love.
Yes.
Festive zone. Well, she's sure singing a different tune. Late yesterday, in the wake of the violence, and that's not a laughing matter, inside that zone on the weekend. 3 shootings, 1 person killed. The light has gone on, apparently, with Mayor Jenny, because she's now saying, you know, this violence distracting from changes sought by these peaceful protesters. And she told a news conference that the city is working with the community to bring the Capitol Hill Occupied Protest Zone, better known as CHOP, to an end. And she says, among other things, she's going to, that precinct, the police precinct inside that zone.
Yes.
She's going to return the police there. Now, just how this is going to happen, we're not sure. She says she's negotiating with those protesters. Now, as of this morning, there is absolutely no indication that they plan to give up that ground whatsoever. By the way, it's not just the shootings. The police chief of Seattle, Carmen Best, says she's noted that some other crimes. Now listen to this. She's noted that some other crimes, including rape, arson, and burglary, have been reported in or near the protest zone. This is anarchy. These kinds of crimes that are going on in there, shootings, people being killed, rape, burglary, there's no festive zone. It's no summer of love in there. Yet she wants to negotiate an end to that.
You know, it's bizarre and funny. Not that these crimes are funny. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. But as word began to spread about these crimes being committed inside CHOP, protesters and people who are occupying it started calling for tighter security and curfews so that people aren't wandering around late at night. And I thought, you trying to institute a police state? No, obviously they're gravitating towards doing the same thing that Seattle was allegedly doing with its police force before they occupied this zone. Somebody made the comment that what's going to wind up happening when they first started this They said it's not going to be a festive zone. It's going to be Lord of the Flies. I don't know if you guys remember reading that in high school, the novel about the boys, member of a boys' school that got stranded on an island, no adults, and they took over, and it turned into a totalitarian. I think William Golding was the author of that. Very insightful into human nature and what happens when you remove government and you remove things like the police.
Yeah, exactly. Fox News is quoting a Matthew Plage who lives in the area. He says, no one wanted to say it. He's talking about the beginning of this protest, but I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. It should have ended when the car tender got broken and the mob went down and broke his fence. It did not have to come to this. Remember that? In the early stages of this, they broke through a fence. They vandalized this business there. And the cops showed up, but they were told to stand down.
Right.
Stand back and watch these looters, these anarchists do their work inside of this particular
business. It has to be humiliating to be a police officer or even be the police chief in this city in Seattle because, I mean, they're being run by the mob. You know, they're kind of standing around. Can we arrest them? They're vandalizing. They're breaking all kind of laws. There's a shooting. Can we go in there? It's the most bizarre situation. I wouldn't want to be a police officer in that city.
No.
Or really almost any big city in the country at this point.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, who was it that talked about this a few weeks ago? But you know, I think it's maybe the beginning of the end for the major cities in America, the big cities I'm talking about, because of the lawlessness. The policing is going to be diminished. If they have their way in Minneapolis, it's going to be cut out altogether.
Right.
Talking
about people fleeing, moving out.
Yeah, you got the means, you're getting out of there.
Right.
Before your property value goes to nothing. Huh? I'm talking about if you live in the cities proper, at least where they're going to do this, or move out to the suburbs or move away if you can. Not everybody can. A lot of people are stuck.
And that's already happened in cities like Detroit. We've all heard that for the last decade or so, you know, vast swaths of inner city Detroit completely abandoned to the point where some people on empty lots were growing gardens and they were having deer come in because it was completely devoid of people and any kind
there's
of
a,
business.
There's a mass exodus right now going on from New York City.
Yes.
People leaving New York City and not just temporarily because of the coronavirus.
Right.
But getting out for safety reasons and other reasons.
Take a look at Minneapolis, you know, where the city council talks about, you know, getting rid of the police department. There will be an authority one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, there'll be
a legitimate force. Or illegitimate. There'll be an authority. Right.
There will be a force there.
There'll be a gang lord. There'll be, what do you call them, lords?
Gang leaders, drug lords.
Gang leaders will take over the streets.
Mm-hmm. That's what will happen there. And the alternative that these anarchists are looking for will be far, far worse than what they thought the police department would be.
Well, we had when I mentioned the curfew, people inside CHOP. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, that's the Capitol Hill organized protest. They were calling for a curfew. One of our listeners on Facebook said, well, who's going to enforce the curfew?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to enforce it, right? I mean, that's if you're going to have rules, somebody has to enforce them. Mm-hmm. And then it just determines on whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, but it won't matter if somebody's calling the shots.
It was interesting last night. There were demonstrators in Washington, in Lafayette Square, and
vandals. There were vandals.
Vandals. That's what they were.
Right.
But the president put a stop to it. Fortunately, they were trying to tear down a monument there.
Of Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, and the president last night and early this morning tweeting out, "There will never be an autonomous zone," referring to Seattle. In Washington, D.C., as long as I am your president, if they try, they will be met with serious force. This is going to be a winning attitude for the president in this election. And he dealt with this during his speech in Tulsa on Saturday night. Law and order is important. And the vast majority of American people understand that. There's got to be law and order. And do you really want these anarchists, these kids, walking around with high-powered rifles to be your authority? Or do you want trained police officers?
Well, now, does President Trump have the authority? I mean, there's a mayor of Washington, D.C. Does he have the authority to tell the police to?
Well, a lot of Washington, D.C. is federal property.
Okay. All right. Yes. So he's talking about
it's
on federal
it's called
property.
The federal city. I mean, there's Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, town, Washington town, but a lot of the area does belong to the federal government.
Especially where the monuments are.
Right, right. Okay. And the president says he will protect those. You know what? These people, we've gone from, think about this for a minute. We've gone from an act of horrendous police brutality, which was the...
George Floyd
killing, where the guy, you know, has his neck. We know what happened there. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a specific incident. Going from that to now, what are we, 3 weeks post, three weeks later, of spray painting and tearing down statues all over. What you wonder, what does one have to do with the other?
Right.
Can we talk about police? We can talk about police work. Our police brutality, how extensive that is, how it's not.
No.
If you look at the statistics, it's not. And certainly, police officers are not going around targeting black people and or black, even black men. If you believe the numbers, the statistics that the FBI puts out, the Washington Post has put out, the numbers that everybody's gone by for a number of years. So you have to ask yourself, why are we now talking about taking down Christopher Columbus's statues, renaming places all over America because of that? What's the link?
Well, and, you know, in Charlotte, North Carolina, a World War II memorial was defaced over the weekend with a hammer and sickle and all kinds of paint thrown on it. What does World War II have to do?
Well these people are anarchists. They're anarchists.
These folks view America as just an all-around bad country.
Right.
From day one, from the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, to now, we're just a bad country, and we just need to start over.
Mm-hmm.
So, whether it be World War II, whatever statue, Andrew Jackson, Christopher Columbus, take it down, let's start over.
You know what? The president was mocked a couple years ago when they were asking him about Confederate monuments and, you know, those kinds of things. And he said, well, they're not, by they, he means the people on the far left, they're not just going to come after Confederate monuments.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come after the Jefferson Memorial, Abraham Lincoln, everything having to do with any of the history of our country. And now it turns out the president was right. That's really what these folks are after.
Yeah, he was mocked by, was it John Oliver of Comedy Central, who made fun of the president for saying that.
Yeah.
And now it's happening.
Now it's happening, absolutely.
Brian Kilmeade of Fox News has a very extensive interview with the president. I think it's going to play in full over the next few days. But little excerpts of it have been coming out. And to the point we've just been talking about, President Trump in the Oval Office interview with Kilmeade saying, those that are knocking down statues don't know what they're doing. But we'll do it even more if Biden is president. It's cut number three.
A lot of these people that want it down don't even know what they're taking down. I watch them on television, and I see what's happening, and they're ripping down things. They have no idea what they're ripping down. But they started off with the Confederate, and then they go to Ulysses S. Grant. Well, what's that all about? And they would knock down Lincoln. There's a group that wants to take down Lincoln. They haven't figured out exactly why yet. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. I've stopped them twice now from going over to the Jefferson Memorial. If I weren't president, they would have knocked down. If a guy like Biden was president, they will knock down the Jefferson Memorial. Not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's right. It's going to be a huge election issue. It is.
Yeah.
If this anarchy activity continues, it's going to be in Trump's favor.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think the anarchists are a very small number. People, relatively speaking. I mean, I think they only had 100 or so out there at the White House, north of the White House last night at the Lafayette Park. But it only takes 20 of them to yank down a statue.
Right.
But the number is small, but they can do great damage. But the bigger question is, what do these people represent, and how many people agree with them or apologize for them or defend them? And their philosophy, their ideology, which is Marxist.
Right.
So the Black Lives Matter founders is on. Do we have that? Because I've heard it played on some of the programs.
We played it yesterday.
Yes. Well, there's you're talking about Patrice Cullors, who has admitted that the Black Lives Matter, capital BLM, is run by Marxists.
Now she says they are a Marxist. They're trained.
So we're trained.
They're trained Marxists.
Yeah.
And she has said in this interview, it's going to be cut number six, Brent, that their real goal is to get Trump out of office. That is their purpose. Cut six.
Hands down, Trump not only needs to not be in office in November, but he should resign now. Trump needs to be out of office. He is not fit for office. And so what we are going to push for is a move to get Trump out, while we're also going to continue to push and pressure Vice President Joe Biden around his policies and relationship to policing and criminalization. That's going to be important. But our goal is to get Trump out.
Okay, the Marxist.
Yes.
That's the self-identified
yes.
Marxist.
She said nothing about police reform. Not a thing about police reform in that. It's about getting Trump out.
Well, but then she did talk about Biden.
She
did. We're going to push Biden because he's not far enough left. For
right.
That.
Exactly.
You know, police reform is really just a front for dismantling and at least, if not dismantling, weakening police departments to such an extent that they really can't do their job.
Right.
Because
if
you notice, there's not really valid conversations about police reform where you're like, oh, yeah, you know, we could probably fix that, with the exception of maybe doing away with chokeholds in certain situations. But that's not really the widespread problem. Police reform is also now code speak for dismantling the police department.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. This this founder of we played this yesterday, didn't we? But I want to play it again real quick. This is one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm. We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
That's who the Democrats support.
Right. And a lot of these corporations that have not been differentiating between Black Lives Matter in small letters and Black Lives Matter capital letters, the group, these corporations haven't been differentiating between those. So you want to start asking them, do you support Marxists have said they not only want to start revolution in this country and overthrow our country, but they want to get rid of the nuclear family, fully promote, you know, LGBT policies. Is that who you're supporting? I'm not sure a lot of Americans know that.
And this is a big deal, folks, because this is lost on a lot of people, what Ed's just talking about here. Which is the reason I didn't go down, I don't go march with these folks, although I know billions of people marched, 2 weeks ago or so. They wanted racial unity, and they want to show support for minorities and people who are, who are maybe not as privileged, if I can use that word, are not as fortunate. And they want to be against police brutality. But let me tell you something. You don't have to peel it back. She just said what they're all about. That was the founder of Black Lives Matter saying we are trained Marxists.
Yeah.
You can't get. She's not trying to hide anything.
Right.
Okay. So that Colin Kaepernick, he is a Marxist.
Right.
This is why I don't participate with these rallies. I'll go to a Promise Keepers racial unity rally.
Right.
But I'm not going to the. I know what these people want to upend and destroy our country.
Yeah, right.
We'll be back in a moment.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
You have people clamoring. The word justice is a word that is propounded from the rooftops. But if you search the scriptures, you will find that justice is always married to truth, biblically speaking.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The Associated Press, which is used by virtually every newspaper in the United States, announced new punctuation rules that seem to be a bit, well, weird. The widely used AP style book will now require that the word black be capitalized in news stories. However, the word white will continue to be lowercase. Latino, Asian American, Native American, all capitalized, but white is not. The Associated Press also encouraged news organizations to limit use of the term reverse discrimination to quotation marks. In other words, they're dismissing the notion that lowercase folks can be discriminated against. Now, it all seems a bit silly. But these days, it's all about being politically correct. The AP says their rule about lowercase white people is not written in stone, and they might reconsider their decision. Well, how very woke of the Associated Press, and that's woke with a capital W. Be sure to check out my new podcast, a free download, available right now at toddstearns.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Go to, if you would like to send us an email, rather, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. If you want to watch on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues on, and you can watch the program there. We also post the stories, Fred does, that we discuss here. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for our ministry, American Family Association, and she's also the co-host of, no, she's not, she's a straight-up host, of, unless she's got a dual personality. Sandy Rios, host Sandy Rios in the morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. So I said to myself, self, what do you think? Well, what do you think? I could talk about both sides of the issue.
Well, I'm going to just say roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
I am too.
That's from What About Bob?
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I do that on the golf course. I talk to myself. A lot of people talk to their.
I friends. Have called myself an idiot more times than everyone else combined.
So you call yourself an idiot, and I say to myself, "Come on, Walker."
Yeah,
say a little, same a little, thing. A little yeah. Forehead bump. Yeah. Come on, Walker.
Same thing.
What kind of shot is that, you idiot? All right, Sandy.
Yes, sir.
John Bolton's book comes out today, is that right?
Officially out today.
I know you've known Mr. Bolton for a long time, and he's been, you know, well known in conservative circles in Washington, D.C. Of course, went to work for the White House. It didn't go well. That is the relationship between him and the president. We have a clip here from
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, Sarah.
She was at the White House when during
John Bolton's time. Hear what?
She is not a big fan. Cut number two.
He's a disgrace to the country. I think what he's doing right now is absolutely appalling. John Bolton was your classic case of someone who was completely drunk on power, who thought he was the president. He was constantly pushing his own agenda, which was all he cared about. The big problem for John Bolton is that's not how it works. He forgot that no one elected him to anything and that it was President Trump and President Trump's agenda that mattered within the White House.
So not a big fan. I don't think John Bolton's going to be getting a Christmas card from the Sanders family there. What do you think's going on here, Sandy, with John Bolton?
Well, I think that he and the president had some substantive disagreements on foreign policy, like in Syria. John was much more of a hawk than President Trump in various areas. I think he disagreed with him on how to handle Kim Jong-il. And I think, and so I, look, let me just say this. I wasn't there to see that. I know John. I don't know President Trump personally. I've been in his presence, but I certainly don't know him. I think what you have is two men who really love this country. That I would say, who have very strong opinions, a couple of type A bulls, who clashed. And President Trump was very insulting to John, and John has a very big, you know, people who do the things they do have to have strong egos. Whether they express it like President Trump does or not, they still have them. And so John was pretty bruised by that, and I think he's acting out, and I think the net effect of it is that it's hurting the country. And that disappoints me above all things. He can disagree on foreign policy, but he, above all people, knows what's at stake. He knows what's at stake. And that he would allow his bruised and rightfully bruised. I mean, rightfully that he feels like he's been bruised. But I contrast that with Senator Sessions, or former Attorney General Sessions, who I interviewed yesterday, who has every reason to lash out the same way John did, but isn't, because he understands the larger picture.
Yeah.
So that's the one
personality trait that I don't, well, the president sometimes tweets things, but that I would say, why is he doing that? Of course, he's done that for now. Huh? We're used to it. We're used to the tweet storms, because President Trump just said, he for better or for worse, he just says what he thinks and shoots from the hip and goes with his gut. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he does that with public policy. There's a more thoughtful process to that. That's why you have a cabinet, you have a team around you and advisors and such. So the president doesn't do that kind of thing. I'm talking about just get up one day and do things that are irrational. But he does have a personality characteristic that I don't like, and that is just lashing out at people who leave his administration, like Jeff Sessions. I know he's mad at Jeff Sessions, but he just keeps on grinding it. And I'm talking about the president. I love the president's policies, but mm-hmm. he does this kind of stuff. Goes after General Mattis, and he does it in a personal way. He'll discredit their whole, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just gets mad at them, and he just lashes out. And I don't like that. But anyway, doesn't mean I don't support the president, and I don't know what's at stake, as Sandy said. And I'm just saying, I think the president would help himself if he would not do these kinds of things. And what he did here with John Bolton is, instead of just John Bolton saying, thank you for my service, we didn't see eye to eye on things, I'm going to move on with my life, be back on Fox News as a commentator and join the Sandy Rios.
Mm-hmm.
Or the president saying, I want to thank John Bolton for his service and wish him well. Just do that. Don't write a book that comes out in the middle of an election year where it seems like you're just trying to cash in on your celebrity to trash the president. And go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, it seems that the trend here is that people who go into the Trump administration and they think they're always right and everybody else is wrong, they don't make it in the Trump administration. Because President Trump has a wide array of views on foreign policy, on economics, on trade, and he kind of bounces around sometimes, depending on what he sees as working. And if you're a hardliner like John Bolton and you think that it's your way or the highway, we're going to go to war with North Korea and Iran and the rest of the world, and that's going to work out good, and I'm going to be able to convince the president to do that, even though he campaigned against that,
right?
It's just not going to end well for you. And and Bolton wasn't able to adjust to Trump's foreign policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Sarah probably pointed out the fault line that he forgot what his role was. And I think that's happened with a lot of these guys. I think that was the same thing we said with John Kelly, same thing with Mattis, same thing with the former Secretary Tillerson. They thought they knew better. Mm-hmm. And so they went in thinking, and I think John must have too, that somehow we're going to do it my way, and I'm going to, you know, whatever the president says, I'm going to do something different. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with, I mean, all administrations have people come and go, I mean, and turnover, and it happens a lot and for various and different reasons. The part I don't like is when the president has to make it personal. You know what I'm saying?
And like public.
Saying he was an overrated general.
Yeah.
What good does that do?
I agree with that. I don't like that either, Tim, but I think, except I'm trying to think my way through whether it's true with John Bolton. President doesn't generally do that unless they attack him. I think generally speaking, it's initiated by them, and then he responds.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Ed, you wanted to say something?
Sandy,
Sandy's got to go. She's got an appointment.
This is real quick. Sandy, do you think this hurts John Bolton going forward in conservative circles? Is he still going to be on Fox News, and or will conservatives consider him a traitor?
I think it's going very badly for John, or Ambassador Bolton. I think it's going very badly for him, and so I think he will not be welcome at CPAC. He already wasn't this year. I don't think he'll be welcome in the same circles as he once was, because people understand what's at stake here, and it does seem like a huge betrayal. The other part of that, though, the part B, is that because Fox is moving to the left, and their never Trumper crowd who populates their news department may think he's wonderful. And so I just don't know. I mean, he could find himself back on Fox, but generally speaking, no. I think it was a huge mistake for him. Terrible mistake, really.
Yeah. All right, Sandy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, could I just tell you, just a little tease. The reason I have to go is because I'm actually doing a pre-tape with William Jacobson, who's a professor at Cornell. And Cornell is in the process of trying to get rid of him because of statements he's made on Black Lives Matter and other issues. He's just a great intellectual. I've had him on before, but it's been a long time. So he's going to be discussing what's happening to him at Cornell, and we will be airing that on Friday. So that's what I'm doing this afternoon.
That sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sandy. God bless you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you, okay. Tim. Thanks so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say what she just said about the Cornell University professor. It is absolutely amazing. Universities try to present themselves as areas of great tolerance of point of view, all of that sort of thing. This professor that Sandy's going to interview is not the only one. We've seen several cases in the last several days of a professor who dares to disagree with the narrative that's
These
out there.
These are tenured professors?
You're out of here. We did the story last week about the lady who had just got the job of dean of journalism was at the University of Arizona, and she had just been appointed to the School of Journalism as a dean. She dared to say something along the line that not everybody is a nice person inside Black Lives Matter or whatever the case may be. They rescinded the offer.
That happened about 3 weeks ago. What's happening, Walker, is we've talked about this before, what Fred's alluding to, the secular progressive ideology it's secular. It's also known as their religion is humanism.
Yeah.
Man is God. It's also Marxist. They had just defined that yesterday. It's complete groupthink now.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave.
Yeah.
Home of the brave, land of the... Anyway, that thing.
Yes. You know, the thing.
I just had a Joe Biden moment. Freedom and the right to speak and the right to have free thinking, mm-hmm. and the right to debate issues and so forth. That's going by the wayside, mm-hmm. slowly, and then it speeds up, and then slowly and it speeds up, because these secular progressives control now all the colleges and universities, the faculties. That's why they have a token conservative. They're called token because they are.
Right.
You know, and so you would think on colleges and university campuses there would be a variance of opinions and ideas and professors of different stripes because they believe in diversity.
Right.
They don't believe in diversity.
Yeah, there's been a purge. I mean, the people that are left that do have diverse opinions, they get run off campus or they don't get hired, like the dean of journalism
over
in Arizona.
They better have
tenure.
Yeah.
And it's also happening in our newsrooms.
Yeah, what's so baffling, though, is it's one thing for a private college to use its private money to push left-wing propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
But for our tax dollars to foot the bill for public universities,
mm-hmm.
to then run these propaganda machines,
yes.
and have and purge any conservatives out over time and only hire liberals, you know, that's where the real frustration is, I think.
But here's what we all know, this is going on here. I don't know exactly what we do about it. I don't know what's going to ultimately happen. I know college attendance is down. I heard last night about the people, not as many people in past generations are going to colleges and universities, but they control the newsrooms. These
yeah.
same people, this mm-hmm. same thought process yeah. controls the newsrooms. Mm-hmm. They control the entertainment business industry.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
they control big business, the mm-hmm. techs.
Yes.
And then also they'll use those forces to out people, to shame people, to cancel people. It's a complete groupthink.
Yeah.
And they don't allow for anything less than commitment to their cause of Marxism, of social justice. You are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're going to come after Biden, she talked
yeah.
about. Cause,
yeah, know, I think you could see a couple things in response to this. I mean, you already have private universities like Liberty that are very popular, especially their online courses. So that's going to continue to grow. Also, I've noticed a lot of people are doing just like a two-year degree from a junior college,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes paid for by your tax dollars, so you don't have to pay tuition. And then they're learning trades that aren't taught anymore.
Right.
A lot of manual labor type stuff like welding and things that aren't popular anymore because they take work with your hands. So, you know, you could see where people just are opting out of going to a four-year propaganda and getting in debt over it. Paying
right.
$50,000 in student loans to get taught by left-wing professors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think, Ed, it had to start happening back in the 70s and 80s, and now we are at this point. How do you think that the secular left, and I call it satanic at its core, and if that scares you, I'm sorry, but I'm going biblical here. Jesus believed in Satan.
Right.
Right. So there is a reason. So what do you think, spiritually speaking, is going on here?
Well, I think the country over the last 50 years has moved away from God. And what happens, if you look at the book of James, where James talks about the wisdom that comes from above, and he says, and then there is an earthly and a natural and a demonic wisdom. And I think what's happening, and he says that when you have darkness, when you have sin, when you have disobedience, It draws wickedness. And I think as a country moves away from God, it creates a spiritual vacuum, and it creates a hunger and a thirst for answers about life. And what's happened is we have had colleges and universities like we're talking about. We've had Hollywood. We've had music. We've had Madison Avenue. We've had all these things providing an answer for people. You don't need God. Mm. It's all about individualism. No one can tell you what to do. No one can even tell you what gender you are.
Not even God.
Not even God. And I think what's happened is we are seeing a nation moving away from God and substituting God with individualism, consumerism, and the state.
Yeah.
And all that is replacing what generations past had as our foundation, which
so,
is God.
Which leads me to this question, and you've answered it in the answer you just gave right there, but still I want you to speak plainly to this. Then I know Fred and Walker want to comment. Why is there such a hatred among these people, by these secular leftists, these humanists, the so-called the progressives? Why do they particularly hate people like us? Why do they, conservatives, but conservative Christians, they just have a special place in their heart?
Yes.
For yeah. us. I mean, why is that?
Dark hearts. Well, Jesus answered the question when he told his disciples, he said, you're going to go out and they're going to hate you. But he said, it's because they really hate me and yes. him who sent me.
Yes.
So this is a war against God. You look at Romans 1, forget the part about homosexuality for a minute. Paul is talking in general. First, he starts off in general talking about man's propensity towards idolatry,
yeah.
to deny God his glory, and they refuse to honor him as God and instead turn to this world, four-footed creatures. They're talking about actual yeah. idols. But the idolatrous heart of man always wants to substitute something else for God. There's a hostility in the heart towards God, and we represent God to them. Mm. So if you're angry at God, now, the thing about the gospel is we are told to love our enemies, and you got to take that first blow to the cheek, okay, so that you can show them the love of Jesus. There's still hope for these people,
yes.
even though they're enemies of God. I was an enemy of God at one time. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul says. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. So we've got to remember, while we're standing for the truth, while we're doing what's right, while we're being salt and light, we need to preach the gospel, because these people are blinded by the god of this world, Satan.
You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a senior vice president, Buddy Smith, just before coming into the studio. And I said, Buddy, when you first started here many years ago, you must be looking at this what's going on in our world right now and saying, you know, the initial battles must seem very light compared to what we're facing. He said, no. He said he and Brother Don, they were looking at what was happening. Of course, back then, we're talking 25, 30 years ago, I guess, Hollywood. And we start talking about how clever the devil is. Where did he start introducing these ideas that conservatism were bad? Sitcoms.
Yes.
All in the Family. You know, Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker was a conservative, and he was the bigot.
He was the bigot.
And right? a buffoon.
And a buffoon. MASH.
Yes.
These shows had political agendas.
Right.
Yeah, but they
and it was wrapped in some humor. You know, on MASH, there were several episodes where Frank, the doofus major on there, who was cheating on his wife.
Right.
Back home, he was a deacon in his church.
I didn't know that.
You know, well, I mean, yeah. It was that kind of line that was right. written oh, yeah. into the script. Oh, back home, you're this righteous guy with your wife, the whole thing. Here you are cheating. What a hypocrite you are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was brought in, and people laughed at the jokes, but they were being educated, and yes. they didn't know it
yeah.
about who is bad and who is good.
Yeah, the West loves entertainment. Mm-hmm. And somebody along the way, back when you're talking about, knew that they could hijack entertainment mm-hmm. and use it for propaganda.
Yeah.
And even today, you hardly ever see God's natural order displayed in a positive light. in film. There's always got to be a murderer. There's always got to be an adulterer. Mm-hmm. And
even though they don't believe in adultery being wrong,
right,
they want to point out when a Christian does it because they want to say that's hypocrisy.
Yeah. But Romans 1 that Ed's talking about, that's actually the – we're going through Romans 1 in my Sunday school class. We talked about it last night. But it talks about in the latter part of Romans 1, verses like 18 through the end, through 30-something, about how they exchanged God's truth for a lie.
Yes.
But they view what we know as a lie as their own truth.
Right.
And so they're willing to defend it, you know, to the umpth degree.
Well, they just – they hate us.
We represent God's truth.
The Hollywood elites, yes. And so we proclaim God's truth. I guess that's what you're talking about. Because it's a supernatural and irrational. Allison and I, my wife, we were talking about this the other day, and I was thinking, why do these people have such a hatred for Christians when Christians haven't done anything to them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it's because we proclaim the Bible as truth, and they reject that.
Right.
Not only do they reject it, they hate anybody who says anything about that. And a large part of it is because the Bible teaches objective morality. There is the Ten Commandments. There is the Sermon on the Mount. God has a right way and a wrong way for us to corporately treat each other, but also to individually how to behave. And guess what? We're restricted by commandments of God on what we can and can't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have to conform to that as Christians daily. We have to yield ourselves to Christ, die, take up our cross, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, the world says, to heck with that. I'll live like I want to.
Right.
And you Christians need to shut up.
Yep.
Huh? And quit telling me about God and his morality. And if you don't shut up, then I'll punch you in the face.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Hater
or worse.
And we're the haters and we're the bigots.
Yeah. yes. And they use Christianity. They use Christian terms to malign us.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is here, if you wanted to have a conversation with these people, they say, well, you're a hater. And I want to say you don't ever have time for these people. Right. They're shouters.
So yes.
I want to say, if we could have a discussion here, I wanted to say, what, so you're against hate? Yes, I'm against hate. So is that like one of the Ten Commandments you follow?
Is that absolute truth?
Is that absolute, Frank Turek would say, is that absolute, you're absolutely against hate.
Yeah.
Even though you don't believe in absolute moral values.
Mm-hmm.
But because if there's no God to answer to, why does it matter whether you hate or not?
Right.
If there's no God to answer to, why does it matter whether you're a racist or not?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that's, who in the universe says that's wrong?
Right.
Or right, unless you believe in God where you get your moral standards from.
Yeah,
but these people never have to answer that. They only get to set the definition of their own terms, which is a lot of times is ever changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if two dogs are fighting out in the yard, you don't try to shame them for being haters. You're just saying they're just doing what animals do. So if evolution's true, we're just animals. What does it matter if I'm hating somebody?
Yeah.
If there is no God to answer to.
We're just two dogs fighting out in the yard.
We are.
Right.
We are if there is no God and there is no moral value system given to us from him as our standard.
Right.
Then we are just higher animals. But who says we're higher?
Right.
How do you even know that?
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in the godly order of things as described in given to us in the Bible, but these folks never have to answer these kinds of questions. They just pull down statues. And
just
shout,
quick tease, by the way. If you come back after the break, we're gonna play what President Trump said about Italians.
Yeah.
Five minute break. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.